You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
The following program is provided for informational purposes only. The views and opinions expressed during the show do not necessarily reflect those of the station or the host. There are no guarantees to the information presented in this material, and the claims and results, if any, cannot be guaranteed. As always, you should consult with a professional before making any decisions that may impact your legal, financial, or medical well-being. This recording is copyrighted, all rights reserved. No portion may be used or reproduced in any way without express written permission.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria Coles Johnson, the original Lifestyle CEO, and I'm so excited to have you here with us this afternoon. Today, we have a wonderful guest who's going to talk with us about something that I know you all want to hear about. One of the questions I receive most often as a small business expert is, how do you get a book published? What's the value of having a book published? Do I need an agent? Do I do it on my own? What about those ebooks? How much should I charge? How do I portray myself as a person that anybody would want to read a book from? All these questions combine with your own business interests and products that you sell and services that you offer to give you an opportunity to write a book. And when you write a book, guess what happens? You get more and more people to learn about your areas of expertise, your passions in life, your thoughts and various things about the world and everything that you're doing. And not only that, it's a great avenue to promote your products and your services. And today we have with us on the show busy wife and mother Janice Cox. Janice is the author of several books, including Natural Beauty at Home, Natural Beauty from the Garden, and Natural Beauty for All Seasons. Janice and her writings and recipes have been featured in numerous magazines, including Cosmopolitan, The Herb Companion, where I understand you can read some of her recipes this month, and The Herb Quarterly, Family Circle, and others. Janice is with us this afternoon to share how she got started making her own beauty products, which, as you know, is a personal passion of mine, and how she converted her hobby into a lucrative writing career that spells profits for a lifetime. Welcome, Janice, to the show.
Oh, thank you, Donna Marie. It's nice to be here.
I'm just delighted to have you. Now, I know one of the questions that our listeners are going to want to get an answer to right off is, tell us a little bit, just a overview about what your publishing experience, your first time publishing experience was like. How did that first book get published?
Well, my first time publishing experience, I guess, was very positive. I do have an agent, and I have a publisher in New York, Henry Holton Company, so it was pretty straightforward process. I contacted an agent and we agreed on the idea, and then we sold it to the publisher. And Henry Holt has been the publisher on all three of my books.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty straightforward. Let's back up a little bit before then. So you had an agent. We're going to talk about that. But back up before then and take me to this passion of yours for using natural ingredients to make beauty products. Where in the world did that start?
You know, that's how I went backwards, I guess, because that was always my hobby, always my passion, something I did growing up as a child with my mother, my grandmother. When I went to college, my friends and I used to do it. So it was something that just I always did and had a strong interest in. And so when I, you know, my husband used to say I should do products, but as a young mother, I really didn't want to do something outside of the house, but I said I could write a cookbook. Mm-hmm. So I put all my recipes and ones that I had collected over the years into Natural Beauty at Home and sold that idea as a Natural Beauty cookbook. And that has been very successful because it came out, I think, in 1993, and it's mm-hmm. still probably my bestseller. But it was just something that I enjoyed doing and wanted to share that with others. It's as simple as that.
12 years ago, can you believe how quickly time goes by?
Oh, I know.
Yesterday, going to the store and buying that book, I can't believe I've aged that much since it came out.
Yes, my daughter was crawling, and now my oldest daughter just got her driver's license, so I can.
I know. I can see. I see from the picture in one of the books that your children are much older now. So, you took a passion that you had, and you saw
the possibility that other people will want to learn recipes and tips and how-to techniques from you, and you package that, and then you pitched it to an agent. Was that your next step?
Well, I did not know anything. I knew that the idea was a good, strong idea because people had asked me if I would make things for my friends as gifts, and they'd always want the recipe. And then there were so many boutiques popping up across the country, like Body Shop and Bath & Body Works, selling natural products. And so I knew that people would want, it's not something new. I mean, people have made their own beauty products for centuries. I mean, if you mm-hmm. think of the Egyptians, but yeah. I knew that people would want the recipes and because I had been asked for them. But I did not know anything about publishing a book, so that's where I really consulted an expert. And and an agent really is someone that's in your corner with you. They have gone through this process several times with authors, mm-hmm. and they're not successful if you're not successful. So right. I guess, I don't know if I did it the right way. I went down to my local library, and I just got out the phone books from, I live on the West Coast, so I wanted to deal with somebody on the West Coast, and I just picked out all the phone numbers for the agents mm-hmm. and started calling them until I found somebody that really shared my same passion and vision and I connected with, and then we went forward and put together a proposal that we sent out to several publishers. Mm-hmm. But there is also the local library is probably the best place to start because a lot of the phone numbers and references, there's a book called Literary Marketplace.
Right.
And that is something you would not want to purchase because it's constantly being updated. Mm-hmm. But the libraries, you know, keep the most current copy. So, and that has all the phone numbers and addresses of agents.
Right, right. And so in deciding to make your own products and tell other people how to do it, did you come across any kind of other options other than getting an agent that you considered?
At that time, no. Now, in hindsight, I realized that, you know, where the agent is really does not matter. I thought I wanted somebody that I could see face-to-face, mm-hmm. but I think it's more important to get somebody that is really on your side, that shares your same passion and vision, because with the computers and the telephone and fax and Federal Express, I mean, you can communicate with that person very easily nowadays. You can be anywhere. In fact, my agent ended up moving to the Midwest.
Right.
So it really did not matter on that. There are a lot more options now with self-publishing and I think with online services that weren't there 12 years ago or I was not aware of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that it just really, if you're really believe in your idea and you don't take no, I always say every no leads me to a yes,
mm-hmm.
that you will be successful if mm-hmm. you believe in that idea. I mean,
yeah.
you won't.
I have a friend.
I mean, that's.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go on.
No, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, if you read any of those success stories, Martha Stewart or anybody, the thing that drives them is the passion that they really believe in their ideas.
Right, right. I have a friend who says, going back to your idea of getting some rejections, I have a friend who says, you know, go ahead, hurry up and reject me because I have to get through 12 or 13 of those before I can get to my yes.
It's true. You can't let rejection bother you. In fact, every rejection I would learn from because maybe the reason they rejected me would be very good constructive criticism. You know? And so your no's do lead you to that yes. And your success rate gets better. I mean, I think when I first started, I used to send out maybe, for a magazine article, I'd send out maybe 30 and I'd get one yes. Now I can probably go 10 and I'll get a yes.
Well,
so I'm getting better.
Right, and speaking of your background, what is your background before writing this book, your educational and even writing background? Did you do any writing like in high school or college or other places before your book was published to kind of hone your writing skills?
Well, you're always writing, right? But I would not say I wrote, like I write now. I wrote in high school and college just... I didn't write like I wasn't on like a newspaper, or wrote a magazine, or wrote other books. No, I just had done. Now I had done technical writing,
uh-huh.
so I knew how to do the. I had worked for a large computer company, and I knew how to put together how-to manuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taught people, so I knew basically, my book is a how-to guide.
Right.
So I did that. But the first draft of that book was almost too technical, and that's one insight my publisher gave me to be more talkative, more chatty, more personal, mm-hmm. not to be so cut and dry, black and white.
Right. So your average person in the kitchen would feel comfortable using the ingredients to make some products.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was our goal. We wanted all the ingredients and products in that book to be common household ingredients and using common household equipment. So instead of, you know, somebody having to have a scale and measuring things out in grams, and it was cups and tablespoons, and, you know, and it was using yogurt, honey, things that you already had at home.
Right, right. Well, that I'm so excited to hear you describe that your background really wasn't in writing specifically, yet not only did you get one book published, but you got several books published, and you have developed those books into other writing avenues that have also contributed to the growth of your business and your recognition as an expert in this area, right?
That's correct. And I'm, again, I don't know if I do it the right way. I very rarely ever say no to someone. So I will write articles and maybe get, you know, $50, and then I'll write articles and get, you know, $1,500. But I figure every article that I write is good. It's a good experience for me because it makes my writing that much better. Mm-hmm. And then it's exposure for my book. And so I really enjoy writing the magazine articles. It all kind of works together.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like if I do an interview or to go on a TV show to show how to demonstrate how to do something, that all helps.
Right, right.
So it does kind of feed, once you start, it does kind of feed on itself.
Mm-hmm.
My background was just that I believe so strongly in the concept of natural beauty and making your own products, and that's what carried me forward. I never really thought that it wouldn't work.
And it's so interesting what you just described as you have a passion and you just put it out there and it begins to feed on itself.
Yes.
That is so critical, I think, for people who may not think that they have it all together, or all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and they have, you know, a bunch of money and a whole bunch of educational background in a particular area, that really, once you have a passion and you sort of focus it and hone it, you can put it out there and start developing the ideas and the opportunities as you go.
That's correct. And I think you do just kind of have to put it out there. There's a lot of, I have people that tell me, well, I have an idea, but I don't want to tell you, or I don't want to talk to anybody about it because somebody might steal that idea. The odds of that happening is extremely low. Nobody is, and nobody's you. So nobody's going to do it like you would do it anyway. So
right.
I think
right.
to be able to talk to people mm-hmm. and express what you're trying to do, you're really listening to yourself when you're selling your idea.
Right.
And
right.
You just get that much stronger, or that much more excited or passionate about it. But I would not discourage people to talk to experts, to talk to other people, because
mm-hmm.
you're still going to do it. Nobody does it the same way. I mean, you know, if you look at even, I'm sure my bath salts in my one book, nobody makes it the same way that I make it. In fact, some women do it a lot better. I've gone to talks and classes where the packaging or the ideas I had not even thought of. So
right,
you just kind of
right.
have to jump in there and
yeah.
believe in your idea and believe in yourself.
Yeah, and get in the game, right?
Yes, get in the game. Because while you're in the game, you learn things. And,
right,
and
we're
going to
talk
mistakes.
A little bit about that. Janice, I'm going to break in because we're going to have to take
Great.
A break. I want you to hold that thought, though, because I really want to follow up with that. You're listening to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO. I want you guys to make sure that you know that you can call your questions and comments in on our toll-free line, which is 800-776-2231. And we're going to get back here with Janice and talk a little bit about what we sort of touched upon before our break. Janice, we were talking about people sometimes being a little bit fearful about sharing their concept or their idea for a book with other people for fear of other people, quote-unquote, stealing their idea and running away with it. And I tell you, as an intellectual property attorney that does a lot of copyright work, I just want to let everybody know that you can't copyright, you cannot legally protect something that's just an idea. You have to put it into concrete form in a book, in a magazine, in a CD, on an ebook or something in order to protect it. But Janice, tell us a little bit about how you feel about that sharing concept and how doing it helped you get your books to market.
Yeah, I never really worried about somebody stealing my idea because they just weren't me. And so I knew that they would not be able to do my idea the way I would do it. There are people that do similar things, and that, in fact, I think it just makes my idea that much stronger because it shows that the area of natural beauty is very popular and very marketable. So, but I learned a lot just from networking, and people tell me their ideas, and I think, oh, that's a good idea, and I help them out, but I wouldn't take their idea because it wouldn't work. If it's not coming from you as the source, it's just, you can tell that. And Right. Sure, has it happened that somebody's taken an idea? I'm sure it's happened, but very rarely, and it just wouldn't ever be produced the same way.
Right, there's no
so
way.
I wouldn't worry about it. It's what's all the moms know this, that magic school bus lady, Ms. Frizzle. You just have to be able to jump in there, get messy, make mistakes, learn, and you'll be successful.
Right, right. You know, and I think I gave the wrong toll-free number for calling in, everyone. Sorry about that. It's 800-773-0355. So if anybody's out there dialing the other number, just forget what I said. It's 800-773-0355. You know, Janice, that is so significant because it really ties into the idea, whatever your business is and whether you want to be an author or not, of networking with other women to help you hone your idea and make it what it can be.
Yeah, I think that's a very huge idea. I mean, because people that are successful want to help other people be successful. I guess it's just human nature. We like, and very, especially women, we like to help each other, but, you know, men like to help us too. So I shouldn't say it's a sex thing.
Right.
But, I just would not ever be concerned with talking to somebody, you know, unless it's just an arch competitor and you were, you know, but an idea for a book or a business. I even went, when I first started out, there's a local group, the Small Business Association, where they have retired executives and that will meet with you and discuss your ideas. And, you know, these are people that are experts in retail or that have written books. Or in my town, there wasn't anybody that had that was exactly what I wanted to do, but there was a lady that had worked for Mary Kay Cosmetics and Merle Norman, I think. And so she talked to me a little bit. In fact, she gave me some good home recipes, but just her experience in that area of work. And it was very helpful.
Right, and that's a really good resource, too. The U.S. Small Business Administration has what you called SCORE, which is the Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Yes.
And you can go to score.org and search around for people in your area. You may not even have to do that with the Internet. You may just be able to send your email to them, and free of charge, they will provide some direction and kind of advice and answers to some of your questions. So that's a really great resource.
And they really want to help. I mean, it's a great resource for that.
It is, and they're volunteers, and they are retired executives. So, as you said, they really do want to help, and they have you know, combined thousands of years of business experience, and it's free. So I've emailed them before and gotten some great responses, and so have you. And mm-hmm. I think everybody should email them at least once, because you can get some really helpful tips there. Now let's talk a little bit, Janice, about how agent relationships develop. And we talked a little bit about different ways to skin the publishing cat, and you chose the agent route. Tell us a little bit about, you told us already how you found your agent. How is it working with an agent? What exactly do they do for you, and what should someone look for when they're looking for an agent?
Well, I would look for somebody that you can work with and you can communicate with and that you have easy access to, whether it's phone or internet or writing. Any agent that is, I guess, a legitimate agent will not charge you. I mean, I've heard of a lot of people that, well, we'll look at your idea and charge you a couple hundred dollars. No. I would steer clear of somebody that's going to charge you to look at your idea, because they're going to make money when your idea is successful. They almost, in a sense, become your partner in the whole publishing process, and they are, again, they're somebody who's been through the process several times, so they can kind of guide you. They know what sells. And you also want to know what publishers have they worked with, because mm-hmm. They're going to make money when you make money. But you want to know who do they have. You don't want to waste your time, somebody who really doesn't have a good network or right. a lot of. So and even sometimes you can go to the bookstore, and if there's similar books, mm-hmm. and look at who's publishing that, and then even look at who the author thanks at the beginning of their books. Most authors will thank their agent. Mm-hmm. And if you see the same name, that's another way to maybe call that person and say, I know you've done similar cookbooks or mm-hmm. maybe a nonfiction book, and I have something along the same lines. Because you want somebody who's dealt with the same type of genre book, whether you're a romance writer or a mystery writer or nonfiction. You don't want to. That's why when I went through the list, you know, the way I found mine is there was a girl that said, "I love your idea, but I do only mysteries. But my friend does exactly what you're pitching, and you've got to talk to her." And so she gave me that phone number, and that's how I got my agent. And when we talked for, you know, that first phone call, quite a long time, and really mm-hmm. agreed that we shared the same passion for the natural beauty.
So you're saying that if a person that you call that's an agent says they'll charge you just to talk about your idea, you should steer clear of that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure now, but I just don't understand why you would do that, because most agents that I've dealt with they want new clients. That's how they make money, getting new successful clients. And they know what ideas they can sell, because they have their own network of editors and mm-hmm. publishers that they deal with. And they'll be very upfront with you. And if they can't sell that idea, I know we've put together proposals over the year where they'll just say, this is not going to work, or I just don't have, mm-hmm. Even my agent will say, you might get somebody else for this because I don't really have any contacts that
right,
I could sell
right.
this.
And I guess there's a difference between an agent and someone who is a consultant that actually helps you put your book idea together.
Right. That's a whole other area of somebody.
Right.
And there's even classes you can take at community colleges or local universities, mm-hmm. Writers' workshops that will help you put together the proposal or show you how to query, TV scripts or magazine. I mean, you can find a lot of those local classes or writers' workshops.
Right.
You know, a lot of bookstores have those mm-hmm. lists of writers' networks in,
right.
you know, some, like my town, I don't know if we have one, but I know some of the larger cities have even clubs that meet monthly and
right.
help writers.
Right, and so once you decided on an agent, you were able to put together an agreement with the agent whereby they would be paid a percentage of the sales of the book if they were successful getting you a publisher. Is that how it works?
That's right. And that's a percentage for, you know, even if you go and change agents, you're still tied with that. If she sells that or he sells that book,
mm-hmm.
you have that agreement. And you can do it a number of ways. You can do it by each project. You can do it by all your projects. It's just really all negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
Even there was a time when my agent made a career change, and so she went back to school,
mm-hmm.
and so we stopped that relationship, and I went with another agent that had been mm-hmm. an editor at my publisher, and
mm-hmm.
you know, that worked very well too. So
right.
you can kind of always renegotiate or nothing's in
stone. Everything's negotiable, right?
Right. Everything's negotiable. That's correct.
Right.
But
right.
once you do have that agreement, I mean, it is, you know, you do want to read through that because you will have an agreement with that agent and you will have an agreement with that publisher. Like, I know my first any new idea I had, they had 45 days to look at it and decide whether they wanted it or not. And we needed to get them, if we were going on to another publisher, to release that idea.
Right. So sometimes what you're saying is sometimes once you put your proposal together and quote-unquote pitch it to a book publisher, there's a window of time when either as a matter of contract or courtesy, you don't pitch it elsewhere because you give them a chance to evaluate it and decide whether they want it or not.
Right. They always get the first shot because – exactly. And so, and you just, but that's all, and that's why where an agent is valuable, because they do know all those nuances and, you know, all of the contract and
right.
how to put that together and how to protect you on, you know, so you're not just,
right.
you know, you do retain some rights to the book.
Right. Right. And, you know, they also know what is and is not popular out there, and they know what's
right.
on the drawing board. They not only know what has been published that, you know, you and I can go to the bookstore and see, but they know what is on the drawing board. So if your book idea is already the subject of a book that's coming out in 2 months by another publisher, they can save you a lot of time by telling you to do that.
That's correct. You can't believe the piles and piles of proposals that are in, you know, some of these offices. And even my editor, I know that a proposal presented by an agent, she would look at more seriously than just an unsolicited proposal.
Mm.
Even if it was good. I mean, there's all those stories of the proposals that sat there and then one day they were discovered. But
right.
you want it read and you want somebody to look at it and, you know, even and sell the idea.
Mm.
So but you're right. They know, like when yoga was so popular, they knew that there were like everybody out there had a yoga proposal or maybe wedding cake proposal or so.
Right, do something.
But then they also know, hey, they have not seen this idea before, and that's new and fresh and different.
Right. Well, speaking of those proposals, we're going to come back in a few minutes, and Janice is going to share some of her tips for what should be in a good book proposal. In the meantime, don't touch that mouse. We're going to take a break. You are listening to the Lifestyle CEO Show with your host, Donna Maria. We will be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, the show where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Call us with your comments and questions about publishing your own book at 800-773-0355. We're here this afternoon with mom and author Janice Cox. She's authored several books and also writes for several magazines and newsletters. And Janice, before we broke, we were talking about book proposals. Tell us a little bit, maybe three or four items that need to be in a good book proposal.
Well, first thing is people always think they have to have the whole book written before they can even put together a proposal. And that's not true. But you do need to have a well thought out idea. And what publishers are looking for is the marketability of that idea. So what I do before I even do the proposal is I go to the bookstores or I go online and I really look at what's out there and how that's being marketed or where that, you know, is in the bookstore and how that looks. If there are similar ideas, that's okay because that proves there is a market for the idea. Mm-hmm. And if there's not anything like it, that's a good thing too because you might be the leader in this area. But in the proposal then, I put together what is called like a book precis, which an idea where you say what the concept of the book, a little bit about you, why you're the expert, the author, you know, why are you qualified to write this book or how did you come up with the idea of this book if it's like a fiction book, just anything that gives them a little insight into you, and then how this book would be marketed. Is it something that would be mass marketed? Is it a niche that maybe you wrote a book on beading and so you could have it at bead stores or, you know, just how you would market the book, what magazines might feature that book, what TV shows might feature that book, anything you can help show the publisher there's a market for this book out there and it will sell. Because that's what they're doing this as a business. They're going to put the money up front to publish your book and they want the money back. They want to make money. So if you can tell them that they will make money, they will listen. And then put together an outline of the book. It doesn't necessarily have to be a table of contents, but just show what will be included in the book, and then a few really strong sample chapters so they get a feel for the book. And, you know, like in my case, I usually do several recipes and just maybe a chapter intro just so they get a feel for how you write, how you talk, and what's in the book. And then the book may change. I know that my first book was called Natural Beauty Cookbook, and like I said, it was very technical, and by the time it came out, it was called Natural Beauty at Home, and it was a lot more narrative and had a lot more personal stories in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't want to spend too much time writing the whole book because it may change once you get that relationship with your agent will change it a little bit
right.
because they know what they can market, and then the publisher will also change it because they might say, you know, we have a lot of books on beads, but we don't have anything beading for your wedding or something
right.
like that. And so that they might really like you and your idea, but they're looking for a book in a certain area. They want to really get into a certain market that's very popular right now.
Right, right. And I would imagine with the ease with which so many new books can be published, either via traditional methods like using an agent, as well as self-publishing and e-books, you really have to have some unique concepts and ideas in order to get a publisher's attention.
Yes, yes, you do. And it's, but there are still out there. There's new ideas every minute being born or improved upon ideas. So
right, just putting your own spin.
And they're always looking for, if you look at the big chain, there's a lot of bookshelf space out there in all the bookstores. And so publishers are looking for new ideas and new books.
Right, right. And I think what you said earlier, too, is so critical about, writing a good proposal and having some good chapter outlines and portions of samples of chapters. But I got to tell you, when my book came out, I had already self-published it. And when the publisher picked it up, I thought it was, here it is. It's already done. Well, it took a year for us to get that book edited. And I was amazed at all the changes and tweaks and things that they wanted, because what they wanted to do was create a book based on what I had already done. But it needed to look like books that were published by them, and they needed to have their own sort of imprint on it.
That's right. And it does. It's like having a child. It takes about 9 months. I don't know
yeah.
if you could, 9 months to a year for that book. So you also, if
right.
you have an idea that's timely, you
yeah.
need to realize that idea, if you want it to come out in the spring or the
right.
fall, you know, you have to kind of time that also. Realize that
right.
it's going to take about a year from when you start.
Yeah, and it was just so amazing. Every time I thought I'd submitted a last draft, I would get this message
oh,
from my editor saying, these 10 pages really just need to be rewritten. And I was like, why?
Oh, I know. Editors are wonderful people, and it is
yes,
amazing
they are.
Because they will find things that you you don't see. Like, I write like I talk, and I remember I got a page back once that had the word nice. I must have used it 50 times on one page and had never seen it when I was reading it.
Yeah,
but they will see things like that, and they just circle it in red and say, get a new word.
Yeah, because we're so close to it.
Right, and the copyright people or copy editors are very good because they go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and they really do find where something should be a semicolon or you've used the wrong abbreviation or the wrong word. It is a good process, so it's nice to have those people.
Yeah, that's great.
With you.
Hey, listen, we've got a caller on the line. Actually, she's not on the line. She emails her question to our engineer. Jenny wants to know your opinion, Janice, about self-publishing.
I think self-publishing is a great idea, and it's a lot easier today than it was when I first started out. There are a lot of websites and companies that will allow you to self-publish. You probably are the best expert on the self-publishing, Donna Maria, so I should probably turn the question over to you. But
well,
there is a lot more opportunities out there to self-publish.
Well, I'm certainly happy to share. In my experience, I had written a recipe book, which I called, I can't even remember what it was called when I self-published it, but it was recipes specifically for making creams and lotions and other types of emulsions that can be used in skincare, and it focused a lot on sort of the high-end, what I call exquisite aromatics, like rose essential oil and neroli essential oil and things like that, and I had self-published the book and started selling it off of my website, and then lo and behold, a publisher did come along, Storybooks, and they actually the editor called me. The chief editor called me one day, and Janice, it was so funny. I remember I received her phone call, and she introduced herself, and she said somehow or other, I don't know how they'd gotten their hands on a copy of my book, and I actually looked later and saw that they did not order it from me, so I don't know how they got it. And then she said, you know, we were just wondering if you would be interested in allowing us to publish the book. So I very calmly said, well, sure, I'd be happy to talk about that. And meanwhile, I remember jumping all over the room and trying to stay as calm sounding as I could.
Right.
It was very exciting.
That's great. Hey, you never know how they, because I will have people call me that have a copy of my book, and, yeah, they've gotten it even from a friend. They've gone over to their house, or yeah, you never know how those books get out there.
Right, and don't you think that goes back to the point we made
networking
at the very beginning, which is put it out there.
Yes, put it out there, because I've gotten calls from publishers or magazines that have gotten my book just simply, you know, from a friend or seen it in another, in a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then they go on to do great things with it.
Right.
So, I think you're right. Have a passion and don't be afraid to put it out there.
Right, and I have friends who have, my book was self-published before e-books and things of that nature were very easy to do online, but I do have friends, and I'm sure you do too now, who have books that are out there that you could just go and download right there on their websites.
That's right. That's a whole new area. And I do see self-publishing is very well accepted now, and the quality is great. And because the other day I was reading a murder mystery, and I think it had been self-published and then got picked up by a so that happens more and more. I think publishers are looking at these self-published books because that's an easy, it's already got a following. There's a market there. They're just repackaging it.
Right. And you know, as they say, everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has a book in them.
Yes.
So the question is, for any of you would-be writers out there, is what are you going to do to get your story out there, whether it's a recipe or a story about your personal experience as a wife or a mom or a sister or any kind of personal experience you have, or do you have an idea for a fiction novel in your head? What Janice is describing is just, you know, getting out there and putting it into the universe and making it happen.
That's
Janice,
right. Don't be afraid to make it happen.
Well, you never know where it'll lead, and we're going to talk a little bit when you come back about exactly where it has led and is leading for you. I'd like for everyone to know that you can call in your questions or comments to 800-773-0355 or email them to dm@lifestyleceo.com. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show with your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We've got Janice Cox today sharing ideas and information about how she became a published author and how you can do it, too. If you have any questions, you can call them in on our toll-free listener line at 800-773-0355. Now, Janice, we all know that you are also, in addition to an international author, you're also a busy wife and mom. How many kids do you have?
I have two daughters. They're ages 16 and 14.
So that makes for a lot of handmade beauty products around your house, I guess.
Oh yes. It's very popular around my house and with their friends also.
Right,
and it's
right.
For many years, it's been a popular like birthday party activity. And
yeah,
just when they have people over, they like making things and giving as gifts, too.
Right, and I bet your books contain a lot of ideas about that. Tell us a little bit about how you juggle your family life with your activities as a busy writer. I know you write for several publications. How do you juggle all that? I imagine you must be really busy.
Well, I am, but the advantage I have is nowadays with the Internet and with Federal Express, all those great tools, is I can do it on my own time. And so you do have to just kind of grab that time. When the kids were little, I used to think it was easier, but I think it might be easier now that they're older, because they, if they were at nap time, I might write, or early in the morning, or just whenever you kind of have calm in the house,
mm-hmm.
you can write. There were a few times, though, when I'd be on the phone at an interview and they were outside playing, and I just could not open the door because they would run in screaming. But now it's more accepted also, because a lot of people that I talk to are also mothers, and
mm-hmm.
so it's not a negative thing if your child comes in when you're in the middle of an interview and needs something. You know, where I think when I first started out, I didn't want anybody to hear my children or to,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was trying to be so professional. Well,
mm-hmm.
I've kind of let that go and kind of have
right.
realized that you can't, you know, have total, when you're working at home, that's
right,
one
right.
of the
well,
great advantages. And they help me. My daughters like to, put together the mailers or do envelopes or pack books up for me. They're very good at that, and they like to try out new recipes, and it's been good, but I think you just kind of have to take the time. Now my schedule, because they're both in school all day, is I work while they're in school.
Mm-hmm. And you have your own home office set up in your home?
Yes, I have my own office that we share, but yes, it's in my home. I have a computer, and
mm-hmm.
so I do, you know, that's where I do all my work. And then nowadays it's gotten so much easier, because if you write a magazine article, even some proposals, you can just email it. You know,
mm-hmm.
when I write an article, I used to have to run down to the post office and mail it. Now I can just, I have my deadline. It's really shortened up the deadline, because it can be up till that day that it's due,
mm-hmm.
and I just email the whole file, and then it comes back. If there's anything they need, they can either
right.
call me, or it's quite easy.
Right. And so tell us a little bit about the transition from writing a couple of books to having a continuous writing career. I know you write for several email publications, as well as I know this month, for example, some of your ideas and recipes are going to be in the Herb Companion magazine. How did the book lead to those kinds of freelance writing opportunities, which are also generating income for your business?
Well, I guess three ways. One, my publisher sent my book out to several publications, because when you have a book and you're promoting it, at the beginning, you do want book mentions. You want magazines and TV spots, you know, that will mention the book and drive sales. So that's how some magazines heard of my book, and then over the years, you know, I've worked with the same editors, so if they need an expert, they will contact me. If they're doing something on, like, first on chocolate, and they want a quick recipe that includes chocolate, you know, they'll call me up. I've become a natural beauty expert or a
mm-hmm.
resource. a lot of times I do magazine queries. I do it probably with every season. I come up with three or four great ideas, I think, that the magazines would like, whether it's the, and I kind of send those out there, and that's what I was saying. I used to send out, you know, maybe 30 different magazines, and I'd get one that would say, yeah, let's do that, and now I can probably, probably every 10 no's, I get a yes. I might say, let's do something, like I just pitched the idea of herbal care for your pets, and that got picked up by a magazine.
Right.
So it seems like I do it that way, and then people call me. So it's the three ways. The publisher's sending things out. People are calling me because of the books and because of the other articles. And it's a small world. Publishing is a very small world. So people that maybe worked on one magazine before will pop up on another one, but they'll remember working with you and it was a positive experience. So they will call you and say, okay, I'm not at this anymore, but now I'm over here. Would you do this for me?
Right. And speaking of this from an income-producing opportunity, I know that it is so wonderful when the books that you have published generate royalty checks for books that you've written, like you said, 12 years ago. You get paid every year for those because you get royalties, right?
Yes, it's very nice because whenever the book, I get from my publisher every 6 months, so I get paid twice a year. And if it's been translated, like I think the book is in Spanish and it's in Chinese and I think it's in Polish, but whenever it gets, if it gets sold to another market, you get a percentage of that. If the rights are sold to a different magazine, some magazines want to publish excerpts, you know, so not just feature one recipe, they want several, and so they will pay a fee for that, and you get a percentage, and then book clubs also will pay a percentage. So it's just continue, as long as you're promoting the book. That's one reason I do the magazine work, because it promotes the book, and vice versa. So it's really keeping it out there does keep generating the income.
Right, and if you had a product line, I would imagine you could use the books and other writing opportunities to also promote that and use the product line to promote the written material.
That's right. It all cross-sells,
That sort of cross-pollinization thing, and isn't it great when something that you've done so many years ago continues to contribute to your family's financial bottom line over a decade later?
Yes, and the thing I like about writing, it is very flexible. You can do it anywhere, and you can do it at any time of day.
Yeah.
So you don't, it's not, you don't, and you can do it out of your house, or, you know, some people like to go to a library or something, but you really don't need an expensive setup to do it. And so
that's
a very easy startup business.
Right. If anybody out there has any questions about that, we're at 800-773-0355. We do have a few minutes for more questions. And Janice, speaking of authors, the Lifestyle CEO Conference coming up in January is going to feature no less than three published authors. Our keynote speaker, Lisa Price from Carol's Daughter, the author of Success Never Smelled So Sweet, is going to be speaking. And we've got two other authors. One is our panel moderator, and the other one is Alicia Grosso, who happens to be a member of the Handmade Beauty Network, and she's written two books on soap making. So we're going to cover this topic at the conference in January 2006. Now, Janice, tell us a little bit about, just as we close, a little bit more information about where your career is going now. What kinds of things do you have in store for us over the next couple of years?
Well, now that I have the school schedule set, because that always kind of slows me down in September, but I really like the idea of handicrafts, and I do a lot of articles on crafts and handmade things, and so I might deviate a little bit from natural beauty, even though that's still my passion, and go into the craft type world of things. But I do still write a lot of beauty articles, and I have thousands of recipes. In fact, I have recipes that haven't even been published yet. So I may end up putting out a natural beauty at home part two.
Okay, and
I'm at a crossroads right now, I think, which is kind of nice to decide, you know, where I want to go.
Well, you know, and that's what the Lifestyle CEO Choice is all about. It's about giving yourself options and doing what you love to do on your own terms.
Right, and I do get a lot of feedback from a lot of my readers, and, you know, even doing products And I, you know, I've always steered clear of that because I really enjoy the writing and sharing the ideas. And I, and you know, I have a lot of readers that do use my recipes and, you know, make the products and sell those to support themselves and their family. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited.
Now, are you at liberty? I know you have a publisher. Are you able to write your own ebook and
I am, because, you know, my publisher and I, we have a great relationship, and they're very happy with the three books, but they also have been sold and have gone, they're going in another direction, so they probably are not going to go into the area of natural beauty any longer.
Okay.
So
okay.
If I have a great idea, I always share it with them, but then they're also very good about saying to me, no, they're not going to do it, so mm-hmm. go off and good luck.
Yeah, well, you know, and here's another tip for our listeners, for those of you who are trying to decide whether you want to self-publish or get an agent. One of the great things about the Internet is you can actually go on the Internet, and many book publishers have ideas or have references for you to send your book ideas directly to them in an email message.
Yeah, it's really, the Internet has really changed the whole publishing industry. Mm-hmm. It's just the information flow back and forth, and it's almost instant, and then the ideas that are out there, and just being able to scan online bookstores and see what's being published and what's out there. And there's just so much more information.
Right, right. You know, I was talking to an attorney friend of mine a couple of days ago. He also does intellectual property law like me, and that includes copyrights and trademarks and things. And one of the things he said, and he's been practicing way longer than me, was that for small businesses, and I believe this, intellectual property is one of the best assets that you can own. So having a product line and selling products and services is definitely great. But if you can combine that with some kind of means of communicating information to your audience, then you're selling not only your products and promoting not only your products and services, but you're also giving people information. And people want information. Right, Janice?
They do, and they'll pay for information. Look at even the online newsletters that people will subscribe to. Or mm-hmm. there's just a variety of ways to, if you have a expertise or a passion, or people will pay for that.
Right.
They, you know, the information, I mean, look at, you know, just the, you know, the ideas, and yeah, it's amazing.
Right,
I mean,
you can be creative, and I always say that you are your best asset, not just your educational background, your experiences, your products and services, but you as sort of a holistic entity and all of the different things that you bring to the table is all of the assets that you can combine and help people, give them information that can enhance their lives, and that's the key. And thank you so much, Janice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just I would encourage anybody, if you have an idea, go out there, because the sky's the limit on what you can do with it.
Right, right. And speaking of the sky being the limit, we are going to touch the sky at our Lifestyle CEO Conference in January in suburban Washington, D.C. You can sign up to attend by the end of the month and get a great early bird discount. This is the place to be, moms, if you want to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. We have speakers, resources, and you're going to end the day with your own business action model that you can take home and put your new ideas into action. And not only that, it's the only conference I know of where on-site childcare is available to make it easy for you to attend. Janice, you have provided listeners with so much great information. Of course, we all wish you the best with your writing career, and we look forward to some new articles and new subject matters out there from you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
And thank you for joining us on the Lifestyle CEO Show. Join us next week when our expert guest is expert personal branding expert Peter Montoya. If you want to create a personal brand and generate your sales and business and grow based on branding, Peter is to talk to, and he'll be here next week. Join us for the Lifestyle CEO Show on Monday, October 24th at 1 o'clock. See you then.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.